A top regulator explains her agency's part in the financial crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The head of the Securities and Exchange Commission testifies to Congress today. The SEC was one of the regulators that couldn't keep the financial system from derailing. Mary Shapiro was not heading up the SEC then, but she is now, and today she'll tell lawmakers what her agency is doing differently. She's also sure to be asked why the SEC settled its fraud case against Goldman Sachs last week for an amount of money that some critics called a $500 million slap on the wrist. The SEC has new responsibilities under the financial regulation overhaul that President Obama will sign this week. That law also creates a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and Washington, D.C. is buzzing about who the president will nominate to run it, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The frontrunner is Elizabeth Warren. She's chair of the Congressional Oversight Panel on TARP. And when she held hearings on the bailout of AIG, Warren put Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner on the spot.
Do you know where the money went?
Absolutely. And the money that the money in that context went to help prevent default.
Geithner added the money helped prevent AIG from endangering the financial system. But Warren doesn't believe banks should get too big to fail. Teddy Downey is a policy analyst with Concept Capital.
She's more skeptical of big banks, that the more ways to knock down their size and restrict size, the better off the consumer is. And so that's one of the big disagreement that they have.
But will this lack of love between Geithner and Warren prevent her from being nominated? There have been reports that Geithner was opposing Warren, although formally Treasury says she's exceptionally well qualified. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Here's another rivalry of sorts. The big online retailer Amazon announced yesterday sales of digital books have pulled ahead of the old paper-style information transfer devices. Here to talk about that live is Marketplace's John Dimsdale. Hi, John.
Good morning, Bill.
What is Amazon saying exactly?
They say for every 100 hardcovers that went out the door over the past 3 months, it sold 143 books electronically. And one other thing, there's been a surge in sales of its Kindle book readers. There's been a price war going on among ebook makers ever since the iPad was released by Apple, and sales of Kindles tripled as their price dropped below $200.
John, Amazon doesn't typically release its sales figures, so why now?
Well, they're facing headlines that Apple's iPad is taking over the market. You know, the iPad has this fancy color touchscreen, while Kindle readers, like most, are black and white. But the iPad is much more expensive, and Amazon wants to show that it's not losing control of the market.
Are all these e-books cutting into sales of traditional books?
Well, there's no evidence of that yet. Paper book sales are also growing. And remember, Amazon's comparison is between digital books and hardbound books, not paperback books, which sell at a much higher rate. So while the trends favor ebooks clearly, there's no sign that traditional books will disappear anytime soon.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale. John, thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in Europe now. They were mixed in Asia. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials added 56 points, closed at 10,154. We got some encouraging corporate earnings reports this morning. Profits rose last quarter at Whirlpool, Pepsi, United Health Group, and Harley-Davidson.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to strengthen America by empowering more young people to achieve educational success beyond high school.
Yesterday, we introduced you to uninsured Americans engaging in medical tourism, going to a foreign country to get cheaper health care. Reporter Kevin Ferguson says insured people are discovering medical tourism, too. Some insurance companies are encouraging employers to send their workers to hospitals and clinics abroad.
Just after the health care bill became law, David Boucher's phone really started to ring. David is CEO of a company called Companion Global Healthcare. It's an offshoot of Blue Cross. His company works in the medical tourism industry, sending Americans with jobs and insurance to foreign hospitals. Patients get otherwise expensive procedures done in places like India and Costa Rica, usually at a fraction of the cost to their employers.
You know, I will tell you, we've had more requests for information from employers in the first quarter of 2010 than we had all in 2009.
Employers like Blue Lake Casino in Northern California joined on in 2008. Jack Norton runs their HR department.
Health reform is, to me, it's a goal of reducing medical cost, and I haven't seen any significant strategy that has the potential to reduce cost like medical tourism.
It can pay off for the employees, too. If a patient opts to go abroad, they won't pay a cent. No deductible, no copay. They even get a free trip. In fact, employees of Norton's company will actually make money, 10% of whatever the company saved. So say if they head overseas for a heart bypass and save the casino $50,000.
We're offering the patient a $5,000 savings stipend.
But getting the patient on the plane is a different story. Stephen Wallace is a health policy professor at UCLA. He says that while bosses love the idea, employees still need a lot of convincing.
People want to be close to home when they get really sick. Being in a foreign land, even if it's a Hilton Hotel type of setting, is still distressing when you don't have family nearby.
Patients also worry they won't be able to sue should something go wrong. Those concerns could be why not a single employee at Blue Lake Casino has volunteered for a procedure overseas. But that might soon change. Norton himself needs knee surgery, and he's in talks with doctors everywhere, just not here in the U.S. I'm Kevin Ferguson for Marketplace.
You can hear Kevin's companion piece on medical tourism at our website, marketplace.org. And finally, the banks have learned their lesson. No more giving mortgages to people without income, like pregnant women. The New York Times reports banks are denying loans to women out on maternity leave because they might not go back to work. So if you're expecting a baby, you may not be able to get that new house that you wanted to get because you're expecting a baby. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.